This is Kyle Kozier and Ezra Ginsberg. We're live at Tom Reed's in downtown St. Paul, Minnesota. It's a lovely little sports bar here with a good post-draft crowd sitting out the rain and having some 275 Coors Lights. Ez, what were your thoughts on the draft today?
Well, today definitely went a lot faster than yesterday. The second round and third round, it would slow down a little bit in the fourth round, but those first two rounds went so much quicker than the first round yesterday. But it was just an unbelievable weekend. We were privy to so many different NHL types, and it was just unbelievable. Once again, we've said it before, it's just unbelievable to see all of these Winnipeg fans and different people supporting the Winnipeg Jets, you know, around the NHL. So just an unbelievable weekend. You know, I couldn't have asked for any better experience, and it was awesome, you know, representing Illegal Curve and, you know, just doing interviews and stuff. But it was really fun. It wasn't work at all for me.
I'm with you 100%, as is really a great weekend again. Nice to see the Winnipeg fans. And just to give a little shout out to the Minnesota Wild staff and the people of St. Paul. They've been just top class all the way through. The Wild staff were fantastic, you know, right from the media services right down to the craft services people. Did an excellent job. Great meals, very friendly, very personable, very always willing to help you out. And the people of St. Paul have really embraced this draft here. Everybody you talk to on the streets are excited to have the draft here and have been really very friendly all through. So, I mean, really, really high marks to the people of St. Paul and to the Minnesota Wild.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, Kyle. Like, that, you know, we were treated very well, and you know, we were able to roam around the media area down to the media room, you know, to the upper concourse, and everyone's really friendly. And obviously, you know, we are really familiar with the city. You know, we've both been here many times before, and you know, that's a beautiful arena that they have. The XL Energy Center is a beautiful arena, and I agree, they did a fantastic job over the last 2 days.
Definitely. And I guess that's, you know, moving on to Pat and St. Paul in the back here. Let's talk quickly about the Jets picks here. They got several picks in today. Traded two picks to get one guy picking up Brandon Serville from the Ontario Junior Hockey League out of Stouffville. Kid that's committed to go to the University of Michigan, a little bit raw type of player. He said himself he needs to, you know, mature a little bit, work on the physical side of his game. But he'll be playing under Red Berenson in Michigan, and that's a program that's put out a lot of NHLers in the last few years. And he's really going to a great place to learn his trade.
Yeah, they gave up two picks. Obviously, one of them was the later third round pick, but they gave up a fourth round pick, and Winnipeg didn't have a pick in the fourth round. But they really liked something about him, and obviously he's more of a project type of player.
Right.
They know that he's not going to probably play in the NHL till maybe 2021 at the earliest, and you know, Montreal, you know, will go down as the first team to make a trade with the new Winnipeg franchise. But you know what? We had a chance to interview him in the media room, you know, it looks like a very, very enthusiastic kid, and was very happy that Winnipeg, moved up to draft him. So, you know, it was good to see, you know, some moves, you know, for coming from Winnipeg because of the fact that it was pretty slow. They had no second round pick, right, Kyle?
So, as you make a great point there, Winnipeg was very aggressive in going out and getting this guy. He's going to be in college, so they have the luxury of waiting on this guy for 4 years. They got, you know, can put him in the slow cooker for 4 years, see how he turns out. I mean, if he really progresses quickly, it's a guy you can, I mean, you don't like to see it happen, but you can always pull a guy out of college early. They got options with the kid. And I guess, you know, moving on a little bit from Serville Hill, they also did a nice job in picking up 149th overall Austin Brassard, a kid out of the Belleville Bulls, who at one time was projected to be a first rounder, but kind of had a tough season. Belleville was not a very good team. They scored very few goals, and he really struggled, you know, only scoring under 20 goals this year. But it's another guy where they, you know, kind of guy slipped, and obviously somebody saw some potential in him previously in order to have him ranked so high at one time, and to get him at 149th. You know, down the road, this might be a major coup for the Jets. So, kudos to them for picking that kid up too.
Yeah, KK. Obviously, I don't know tons about him, but you know, if you're saying that he was projected to be a first rounder, then you know, if we got him that late, then it looks like that has a high upside. And I mean, it's interesting here Of all of the picks that the Jets made, you know, we've got three coming out of Ontario, and then another at least two coming out of the West with Adam Lowry out of
nice
Swift Current,
yeah.
And then Jason Kasdorf, a goaltender out of Portage La Prairie in the Manitoba Junior Hockey League. That's technically out of the West too,
and he's a Winnipeg kid too. So I think that's always important. Especially with the team coming back, nice to get a Winnipeg kid, big goalie, 6'4", is committed to RPI. Great coach out there, and Seth Appert, very good teaching coach. And again, another kid you can put him in college for 4 years, let him develop slowly. There's no rush to get him up to the big league. So those college picks are always nice, and that you got that those 4 extra years potentially to make a decision on the kid. So it's a low risk, high reward type of situation, and I think the Jets staff did a great job in picking out some of these kids.
If we can for a second, I'd like to talk about Adam Lowry, who we took in the third round. We were I don't know if the word is surprised, but we were sitting beside some media from Edmonton, and he's obviously Dave Lowry's son, and. We were told that he's the Scholastic. He was the Scholastic Player of the Year in the WHL for Swift Current, that pick to me was pretty interesting because, when you're in those later rounds, I speak for myself. You're a little bit more versed in some of the prospects that might be taken, but to me that kind of seemed like a high upside. Like you've got a guy that, his dad is Dave Lowry. Everyone knows as a he's done some coaching with Calgary, but was very successful in the NHL with the Flames, in addition to other teams. But that was a pick to me that I was pretty interested by, and it seemed like he would be a guy that, along with Scheifele, was taken in the first round, is going to kind of form the kind of class of prospects for the Winnipeg team. So.
Yeah, they certainly seem to have for lack of a better term, a type going forward here, and certainly nothing wrong with that. It's nice to have a sort of a solid philosophy to base your drafting on. And Lowry's a kid that you mentioned, Ezra, is certainly very interesting. High upside there. He has a brother that was also drafted by the Los Angeles Kings today, and whereas Lowry's playing the WHL, his brother's in the BCHL right now and going to Cornell. So it's kind of interesting to have that brother pushing you too. So that probably down the road that's going to pay some dividends. If you've got your brother going a different route, so I'm sure there's a lot of internal competition there to prove themselves. And again, with the hockey lineage, that never hurts. And again, to have obviously spent time around the NHL game with Dave Lowry as both during his time as a player and as a coach, just absorbing all those things that what it takes to be an NHLer for the Lowry boys to see that firsthand, I think will again pay dividends for them down the road.
So, Kyle, are we going to talk about a little bit about some of the interviews that we did today and some of the conversations we had? Because today was an unbelievable day. In addition to yesterday,
yeah.
I've written down all of the interviews because I forgot all of them. But we talked to Kevin Cheveldayoff again for the fourth time, the Winnipeg Jets general manager. We were able to speak to Lawrence Gilman, the assistant general manager of the Vancouver Canucks. We interviewed Brent Burns. We were part of the Dustin Byfuglien scrum. We talked to United States Hockey League Commissioner Skip Prince. We interviewed Brendan Serville. We talked to Los Angeles Kings scout Tony Gasparini. What can we say? I mean, where do we start about who we talked to and what we learned today? It was ridiculous.
Ezra, I guess obviously I'd be remiss if we didn't thank all the guys. Everyone we talked to today was really very forthcoming with their answers. They were
definitely
gracious enough to talk to us and to give us really really good insight into the questions we asked. USHL Commissioner Skip Prince gave us a good insight into the where that league is going. They had another, quite a few picks taken today. And Ezra, we were just talking before we went on the air here about the number of Americans chosen today, 64 compared to 79 Canadians. I think that really speaks to the success of the USHL, and former Commissioner Gino Gasparini certainly had a big hand in that. And Skip Prince is carrying on that legacy right now, so it was really nice of him to take the time to speak with us. Following up on what Paul Kelly said yesterday from College Hockey Incorporated, so I realize we're a show out of Canada, but we certainly have to give some credit to the U.S. hockey system here. It's really producing a lot of great players.
Well, the reality is, though, a huge debate right now for, whether it's, I guess mainly guys that are about to turn 18, or is whether they want to go play college hockey, or you know, they want to play stick for around for another year. You're starting to see a lot of guys play junior hockey in Canada, whether it's OHL, WHL, or QMJHL, and then wanting to commit to a year or two of college hockey before they go to the NHL. And I mean, college hockey is the USHL and the NCAA is very, you know, is just as much of a feeder system as the CHL. I mean, more players are coming out, but 64 American players to 79 Canadian players. I mean, that gap has really that's gotten a lot smaller,
yeah,
right?
That's right. So, no, and I think the thing to consider too is, for all the you know, the talk about which system is better and whatnot, I mean, sometimes that those debates get pretty heated, but you have to consider that there's a kid involved here, 17, 18 year old kid. They got to make a decision for themselves that has a lot of ramifications, and there's a spot for everybody to play hockey. For some kids, you know, you might be ready at 16 or 17 to play in the CHL, and some kids you might not be ready. So maybe for them, the college route is a better option. I'm not saying one's better. You know, obviously the CHL might be a more of a fast track, but if you're a late bloomer, there's nothing wrong with the NCAA either. A lot of great coaches, good teams out there. So I really think a lot of the, you know, I don't want to say hatred, but a lot of the bad feelings between the two are somewhat misplaced, because you got to consider there's a kid here making the decision, and like I said before, there's a right place for everybody to play hockey, and the kids will find it.
Right, and I mean, you know better than me all of the guys that have come through the USHL and that have, you know, been drafted and now are in the NHL. I know one of them off the top of my head is John Carlson.
Yeah.
Plays for the Washington Capitals. I mean, you're starting to now see more players from the USHL, more players from NCAA, and like we said before, guys that were playing for the U.S. development program and are now, you know, going to go play. A guy that obviously I've been talking a lot about, but, you know, I'm a big Brian Gionta fan, you know, former Devil, current Montreal Canadian. Rocco Grimaldi is another guy. He's from California. He's playing for the U.S. development program team, and you know, he's going to go to UND, who, you know, right. Obviously, you know, you live in live in Grand Forks and are very, you know, connected with UND. So I mean, it's just as much as part of my my thought process as far as guys developing into NHLers as it is guys that are in the OHL, right?
So yeah, well, that's just it. I mean, you know, John Carlson's a good example. Played for the Indiana Ice and then made the move and played a year in the CHL because he was really maturing fast and felt that would help his game. And you know, I know there's hard feelings about that one way or the other, but again, the kids will find the right place for them to play hockey, and I think the competition is, well, I understand where they're coming from. You have to realize that kids have to make a decision about what's best for them too. So the USHL is certainly putting out a lot of great players these days. That league has really come a long ways. They're basically like the fourth junior league in North America now, and they're doing a great job doing it. So let's just give credence to everybody, and that's not a knock on the CHL. They're obviously the leader in putting players in the NHL, and they do a great job too. So I mean, today's a day for, you know, patting yourselves on the back and recognizing that these leagues have helped put kids into the NHL. At least taking the first step to putting them in the NHL. So let's just take the day to congratulate everybody and have fun with it.
Yeah, and it was really fun. I mean, we've been taking taking video, taking pictures, tweeting. You know, Michael's been unbelievable. We have to thank Michael, who's yeah. sitting here with us. You know, for basically all the work he's done, because he's been the epicenter, or you know, the control center, whatever you want to call it of everything that's going on. And you know, yeah, I couldn't agree more. Congratulations to all of the guys picked. You know, this is my first draft, Kyle. I know that you and Richie went to Montreal a couple of years ago, or 3 years ago in 2008 for the draft. But, you know, this is my first experience, and it was unbelievable. 10 out of 10 for me, and congratulations especially goes out to the guys that were drafted by the Winnipeg Jets, because those guys are not going to be able to walk too far without, you know, being recognized once they make the team.
Yeah.
So
I really look forward to seeing all the guys up in Winnipeg and maybe having a beer with them at the Nord Villa one of these days. And, welcome to Winnipeg, everybody. And hey, welcome back to the NHL, Winnipeg. You guys deserve it. And kudos to True North and all the people that helped make that possible. And to Remus.
All right.
Who also helped make it possible.
Okay, we're going to wrap this up. So from Minneapolis, Minnesota, at Tom Reed
Saint
Sports.
St. Paul.
One of the Twin Cities.
One of them. It's actually St. Paul.
Yeah. It's, I guess, the other Twin City, but from Tom Reed Sports Bar in St. Paul, Minnesota, this has been, the craziest 2 days of draft coverage from the 2011 NHL Draft. keep listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, and keep logging on to www.illegalcurve.com for the best Jets coverage you'll find. For Kyle Kozier, Michael Remus, I'm Ezra Ginsberg. Thanks for listening.